I'm going to be talking to you from the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 19, and then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So you can be getting your Bibles there. We're not going to read it just yet. I'm going to just open up and lay a foundation here, and then we're going to continue on with our Kingdom Citizens series, and tonight the title is The Kingdom Mentality, all right? Well, we've been talking about the rights of a kingdom citizen. We talked about how we have hope and how we are with God. And involved in that was we have access to God and we can come clean through the blood of Jesus and come to be a part of the family of God. I'm thankful I can be with God. How about you? Amen. I'm thankful I can be with God. But as I was preparing this week, I just felt the Lord begin to direct my heart in this area here, and I was looking at our calendar. This will be the last Wednesday night I preach for a few weeks, and so I'm starting a series within the series tonight that will pick up in the next couple weeks or so, talking about a kingdom mentality. How many of you know we need to think like Jesus? We need to think like Jesus would think. Praise the Lord. That's good preaching, right? And sometimes people don't even think, really. You know anybody who you think? Do you even think? Praise the Lord. There was a man, he bought a new gadget, and when he got it, it came unassembled, and he was reading and rereading all the instructions, trying to figure out how to put that thing together. He couldn't figure it out. He could not, for the life of him, read those instructions and understand how that thing was supposed to be put in order. And so he finally found an old handyman that was working in the backyard, and he asked the man to come and look at the situation and diagnose what the problem might be. And the old man looked at the pieces of the item. He started studying them a little bit, thinking about them, and didn't even look at the instructions. He just looked at all the pieces, Brother Ralph, and pretty soon he was able to put it together, and it worked perfect. And the man who purchased the item said, "Wow, that's pretty amazing. You didn't even read the instructions." And the old handyman said, "The fact is, I can't read." He said, "And when a fella can't read, he just has to think." Praise the Lord. I've looked at people and thought, "What are you thinking?" And while Jesus was walking on this earth, he spent a lot of time with his disciples trying to change the way that they thought, trying to change their mindset or their mentality. They had the mindset, there was different things they were battling, different mentalities they were battling. One, the mentality of the culture of their day. They were battling that, the environment they were brought up in, how they should think as Israelites or Hebrews or as Jews in a Roman culture. They were brought up in that. And they were also battling the mentality or the mindset of the Pharisees, you know, how they would think, or the religious elite, how they would think. And in spite of even other things, they were battling the mentalities of their upbringing, sailors and fishermen and tax collectors and different things of that nature. And Jesus was attempting to instill within them a different mindset, a different mentality, a kingdom mentality. Now, examples of this battle can be seen as he teaches the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was. He's talking to them about the Pharisees' approach to prayer. And he says, "Don't go to pray like the Pharisees do." What's he doing? He's trying to deconstruct a mentality that is not a kingdom mentality. He's trying to teach them, when you pray, the Pharisees, remember how they prayed? They prayed so people would say, "Man, that was a really good prayer. Notice how he prays. Notice how powerful their voice is when they pray." Jesus said, "That's not the way you're supposed to pray." Even in matters of fasting, he said, the way the Pharisees fast, they make their face dirty. They make sure you can tell that they've been fasting. They haven't eaten. They're walking around like, "I'm so hungry. I've been fasting." And he said, "That's not the way you're supposed to do it." It's a different mentality he's trying to drive home to them, as well as giving in the offering. You know, hey, they made sure every piece of silver made that loud noise in the offering plate so people could count them. Oh, yep, there he did. He gave $5. Praise the Lord. The other day, I better not tell them, praise the Lord, but somebody gave in the offering on Sunday and asked for change back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you do that, we can try to oblige you. It's just going to be correct change. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was an occasion when the disciples, I'm talking about kingdom mentality, all right, kingdom mindset. There was an occasion when the disciples said they would call down fire from heaven as judgment upon a Samaritan village that refused to welcome Jesus in. You can read it in Luke chapter 9. And that's not the sermon this evening, but it's a great illustration of a different mentality. They said, we'll call down fire like Elijah did at Mount Carmel. We'll destroy them all, Jesus, because they don't want you here. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's crazy. Note that these Jewish men, they wanted to judge Samaritan people. These were people they already had a prejudice against anyways. They wanted to judge them. Their mentality was already against them. It pushed it over the edge when they weren't welcome into that town. And Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. Can you imagine if Jesus came down and said that to us tonight? You don't know what manner of spirit. That word spirit also means mind. They had a wrong mentality. The mentality that Jesus was trying to drive home, that kingdom mentality, if you read that passage of scripture, this is what he said. He said, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You see the difference? You see the difference? Wave at me if you see the difference. I hope you do. He was saying, hey, you want to destroy them because they're rejecting me, but here I am. I know even you are going to reject me, yet I'm going to die for you so I can save you instead of destroy you. There's a big difference there. Culture says tear it all down, but kingdom mindset says let's build it all up. Praise God. So let's look at this idea, taking a break from the rights. I guess we could call this a right. You have a right to have a kingdom mentality. See what the word says and what the spirit says to us tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all ready to stand up? This is a good idea. I need to start doing this more so you have some stretching time in the middle of the sermon. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing, everybody say renewing, of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated. So I'm going to go through my 3 points here, and I'm going to try to do it in a timely manner. But the first point is this. We need a mentality adjustment. We need a mentality adjustment. Mentality is the attitude that is characteristic of how a person or a group of people think. It's the attitude of the mind. How many of you have ever heard the term herd mentality? That's when somebody gets in a group of people and you can play games with them. You can just, everybody can start saying, let's just use it as an example. I'll lift this iPad up here and I say, hey, this is red. And I'll get 5 or 6 other people to say, yeah, that's a red iPad. And then somebody who knows it's not red, but because every single other person in the group says it's red, they'll say, I believe it's red. That's what a herd mentality is. That's the mindset, the attitude of the mind. Mentality is impacted. The way we think is impacted by environment, by upbringing, and by our nature. Romans 8:6 says this. It says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see the two different mindsets there, carnal and spiritual, worldly and kingdom. There's two different mindsets, two different mentalities. Philippians 2:5 tells us what mentality we should have. Paul said to the church there, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So putting on a different mentality, our natural mentality, the way that we think naturally, it needs a change. Can I hear an amen? It needs a transformation. It needs an adjustment. Praise the Lord. We must start thinking, and thereby, when we think different, we will act different from the perspective of the kingdom of God. What is that? What is his perspective? What is the kingdom mentality? Well, it's something like this. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." That goes completely against the world mentality. Not my will. I don't want to do my thing. I want to do your thing, Lord. That's kingdom mentality. Let thy kingdom come and let your will be done on earth. Lord, we want your plan. We want what you have. We want your power to be welcome to work here. We don't want our power at work. We want your kingdom at work where we are. Another kingdom mentality. Jesus challenging the culture of the day. If you try to save your life, what did he say? You will lose it. But he said, if you'll give me your life, young people, if you lose your life and place it in the hands of the Father, what did he say? Then you will save it. You will find it. And what kind of life did Jesus say he came to bring? Abundant life. Praise the Lord. That's what we're after. That's the kingdom mindset. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Kingdom mentality is me letting the mind of the master be the master of my mind. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest contrasts of the cosmos. Still battling that voice issue. But the world mentality against the kingdom mentality, one of the greatest contrasts. We won't take the time to read it, but Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus goes through all the things that we concern ourselves with or get anxious or worry about. He says, you think about what you want to eat, what you have to find for water, what you need for shelter and clothing and all of these things. And then he said, but you know, you need to look at life and notice that the sparrow, they fly through the air. And something takes care of them. The lilies are they don't do any work, yet they grow up out of the ground. He said, even Solomon in all of his glory had no match of the beauty of the lily. How is that possible? He was saying, God takes care of them, and God will take care of you. He wasn't saying it's a sin for you to plan. You need to plan. You need to make sure. I love it. My wife makes sure the kids all know what they're wearing for church every Sunday morning. I'm glad I don't have to do it. Can I hear an amen? She plans for that stuff, planning dinners, planning meals. He's not saying it's a sin for you to plan. But what he is saying, you need to not be so consumed with the things of this life that you miss the most important thing, which is the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. He said, if you'll learn to have a kingdom mentality, Lord help me, a kingdom mentality where you seek God first and his righteousness, then everything you need will be added. Kingdom mentality. It's an escape. Kingdom mentality is an escape from fear, from worry and anxiety. God already knows, amen, everything you need of today. He knows what you need tomorrow. He knows what you need next year. And he takes care of the sparrow. He takes care of the lily of the field. And he will take care of you. This world looks at everything through a natural lens or even through an influence lens. Does anybody ever wear sunglasses that have a sepia shade on them? You know what I'm saying? Like, you put them on and everything's like brown. Anybody have some of those glasses? Or you put them on and everything changes to like blue. I think one of the kids had some that changed things to pink. And I mean, it's just like you put them on. That's kind of how the world looks at life. They put those lenses on and they see things from a mentality that God doesn't want us to see things from. Let me just illustrate again. I'm taking some time here, but I know you know where I'm going. So many people look at life through the lens of a victim mentality. They think everybody's against them. Life isn't fair. Their life has been tougher than everybody else's. And listen, I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. Life isn't fair, right? Life is tough. But listen, generation to generation, you don't have to sit there and live under the burden of that. In Christ, you are victorious. Can I hear an amen? You don't have to play the victim card. Well, So many people look at life through the lens of a socialistic mentality in our culture, or that strong influence in our culture of, well, everybody owes me something. Everybody should pay me something, or everybody should do what I desire. Me first mentality is another one. They look at life and say, well, if you're in my seat, you better move because I have a right, even though tonight there's 300 other seats you could pick from. Still, people want that. They want things their way at all times. However, church, listen, we are not to be driven by the culture. Our mentality is not to be of this world. We are in this world, but we can live higher in mentality than this world. We need to have a kingdom mindset. Kingdom citizens think differently. Oh, man, I thought I'd get an amen on that one. Kingdom citizens think differently. You look at things different than everybody else. You look at people different than everybody else. You look at situations different than everybody else. That's what is so important about this change in kingdom mentality. Jesus drove it home to the disciples. He said, it's not supposed to be, even in authority. You shouldn't say, me first, my way or the highway. He said, you should serve. It's me second. It's me last. It's not victim mentality. It's intercessory prayer. Come on now. He said, pray for your enemies. I could sit there and say, he treated me bad, so I'm just going to leave the church. Or you could say, he treated me bad, so I'm going to pray for him that God would set him free and do a work in his life. You could your teacher, she might treat you bad at school, and you can whine about it all you want to, but it ain't going to get her fired. You need to pray for her. Praise the Lord. I don't know where that one came from, but you need to learn how to think the way Jesus thinks. Point number two, the Holy Spirit can transform our mentality. So that's how the adjustment comes, through the transformation or the renewing of our mind. This change in mentality is only possible through the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit can change me. How many of you have ever been changed by the Holy Spirit? How many of you are being changed by the Holy Spirit? Paul told us in Romans 12, he said, don't be conformed to the image of this world. Conform means to follow the same pattern. He said, don't follow the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This renewal of our minds, listen, is both supernatural and intentional. It's supernatural in this. The Holy Spirit of God empowers us, transforms us, changes our nature. If any man be in Christ, the Spirit has made him a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. But intentional also on our end. Listen, the Holy Spirit will do the work, but you must be intentional about letting him do the work. You must be intentional about letting the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. If you took grammar in school, you know that that's an imperative sentence. That means you, me, all of us, let the mind of Christ be in us. It is our intention. We must let Christ's mind take form in our minds. He said, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, changing the mentality. Do you know you cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair? You'll never be able to keep every thought from entering into the mind, but you can kick it out as fast as possible. That's part of bringing into captivity. The Holy Spirit's trying to transform, but you're over here sulking and dwelling on the bitter feelings of your past. Let it be healed. Let it be forgiven. Let the mindset change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Spirit works and we let him work. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. We yield ourselves. Yield. Give ourselves to him. We say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Work through me. Here I am, Lord. Work in me. And that's how the renewing takes place. Renewing, that word renew means renovation. It means a new development achieved by the power of God. Anybody ever do some renovations around the house? Usually that involves breaking something down so something new can be built up. Praise the Lord. And that's what has to take place for the kingdom mentality to enter into our mind, for our mindset to change. We have to deconstruct everything that we've thought wrong. We have to deconstruct what we've been taught and how we've been taught to think. I know it's difficult. And in our culture today, it's even more difficult in the conferences the meetings I have with pastors that are much older than I am. This is what they say. They say, your generation has a more difficult time pastoring than any other generation because of the pressures and the different mentalities of our culture. And we didn't used to have to worry about gender things and homosexual agendas and those kinds of things. And not saying I'm worried about it, but there's so much work that must be done to destroy the mindset of the enemy, but the Spirit of God, amen, He can do it. The Spirit of God can do it. So He destroys our wrong mentality. When you renovate a bathroom, what do? You tear out the old wallpaper. You remove that old yellowed sink. You get rid of the cabinets. You might keep them and paint over them, but that's okay. You still got to rip off all of the lacquer and sand down the stain. You got to take out that old shower or those walls in that bathtub, and you put on new paint. You put in a new shower pan. You might even put in some new flooring and get a new toilet. Praise the Lord. But all of it is to do this one thing, to make what was old something new. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want you to deconstruct every mentality that's wrong in me so the Spirit and the kingdom mentality can come to a place of fruition and prominence in my life. I didn't mean to take this long. This is an ongoing process. It takes time. You don't lose your victim mentality overnight. You don't become humble instantly. You battle pride. You don't learn that you don't have to fight your way through to everything as soon as you come up from the altar. You know, there's a lot of people, they've been raised to fight for everything. They've had to fight for everything that they get. But you know what? When you come to be a child of God, you don't have to fight anymore. Praise the Lord. The Lord will lead you, and the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will put you in the right place at the right time. Can I hear an amen? I need help tonight. It just takes time. It still has to be done, but we have to be patient and let it take form. But this is something that often is neglected by many. They come in, they get saved, and they go right back into the old lifestyle, the old way of thinking. Everything's just superficial. Nothing deep has taken root in their lives. I've even seen it take place like this. People get saved, they serve the Lord, they change some of the way that they think, but then they push pause and they stop with the kingdom mentality, and it's like they just kind of realize, I can make it where I'm at, so this far is good enough, so now let me push a little bit of my agenda within this atmosphere or that atmosphere. Listen, 3.5 years, the disciples walked with Jesus, and none of them ended up perfect. They all, at the sight of the accusers in the garden, ran away. They weren't perfect. They all struggled at times following the resurrection. They weren't perfect. Peter had to be convinced, hey, let the Gentiles hear the gospel. I'm telling you, his kingdom mindset wasn't perfect. It's a process, but it can happen. Praise the Lord. There's a bug flying around. Sometimes people assume the right to be how they are based on age, seniority, notoriety. But if you don't have a kingdom mentality, listen, you might be doing things right the way the worldly culture looks at it, but wrong the way heaven does. We got to have a kingdom mentality. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. Hallelujah. It's all a process of being a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away, but that newborn Christian still must grow. You're not a full-grown Christian. As soon as you get up from the altar, you have to grow. You have to, that old man is still there. The new man might have victory, but that old man's going to keep fighting. That new man, you got to grow. That battle's constant. You got to grow. But if we hinder the Spirit in renewing our minds, we will keep ourselves in an old mentality that will never allow us to fulfill our God-given purpose. You got to have a kingdom mindset. Allow me to wind this up by looking at an illustration from the early part of the Old Testament. The Israelites are a perfect example. I got a lot more to say. I'm going to try to hurry it up here. But the Israelites, somebody answer this question for me. When the Israelites were in Egypt, what were they? Slaves, right? They were slaves. How long were they slaves? Yeah, around 400 years. You win the award tonight. Whoever answered those questions, praise the Lord. Give them a gift card. Amen. These people were slaves for hundreds of years, and that slavery destroyed their mentality. They did not realize that even in Egypt, while they were slaves, their numbers were growing to a point where Pharaoh was afraid that they could overtake him. They failed to realize that they were a powerful people. They were still the people of God. Pharaoh even stated, kill all the babies, especially the males, because I don't want that population to continue to grow lest they realize who they are and they overtake us. But when you have a slave mentality, you think of yourself as inferior and as powerless. They were only inferior because they thought they were inferior. Lord help us. They were still the people of the promise. God was trying to give them a kingdom mentality, even them. Fast forward from Egypt, fast forward through the plagues. Moses brings them out from Pharaoh's rule, and there they are at the Red Sea, and they're scared to death, thinking, oh, this is it. But what happens? God shows up, praise the Lord, like he always does. He made a way through that Red Sea. They were delivered. They came away from Egypt, and the army of Pharaoh was destroyed, and they are no longer slaves. Amen. So what does that mean? They are now free. Praise the Lord. They're free. Anybody in here free tonight? Praise the Lord. They're not slaves. They're not Egyptian citizens. They're Israelites. They're God's people. But a little while later, they're still feeling inferior. Let's stand together. Music come. I didn't get to my point, my third point. What happens? What part of the story am I at here? This is where I'm at. The 12 spies were sent out. They're going to check the land and bring back a report to Moses. And we know that news of what God has done for them has already reached the people of Canaan. This is what's amazing. If you go into Joshua, this is after the wilderness. This is when they go into the promised land eventually. Rahab says, we heard about what God did for you at the Red Sea, and we know your God is powerful. What God had already went before, and he had the enemy scared to death about what was about to happen. But yet these 12 spies, they go into the land the first time when they spy it out, and 10 of them come back and say, you know, all of these good things are there. What Joshua and Caleb said, that's true. There is a lot of good in Canaan, but we are so small. And if we go in there, they're going to destroy us. They'll destroy us. There's no hope. What is that? Even though they had seen God move and seen God work, their mentality was not of a kingdom spirit. Their mentality was one of fear and inferiority. And they looked at it and said, they didn't think of themselves as the people of God. Their minds went back to the slavery. When God calls you out, he calls you out. And when God gives you a new name, he gives you a new name. You're not who you used to be. And when that transformation in the mentality takes place, that kingdom says this, and this is taking a quick turn here, but it's about this. They had victory at their fingertips, but because their mentality hadn't been changed, they settled for way less than what God had promised them. And even them, when they did what they did, those 10 spies, they caused the hearts of all the people to melt. And they were discouraged. And they said, we cannot fight. We cannot go up and take the promise. Listen, a kingdom mentality is a very powerful thing. But if we let our minds, if we refuse to let them be transformed, it hinders our spiritual fulfillment. And it also destroys the lives of others around us and that may come after us. We need the kingdom mentality. Praise the Lord. We need to think like Jesus did. And there's so many other things I need to go into. We'll pick it up at point three the next time. We're going to talk about kingdom mentality being one of humility instead of pride. Kingdom mentality being one of faith over fear. But tonight, the focus is this. We need to be willing to let the Spirit transform the way that we think, the way that we look at life, what lens we look at others, what lens we look at the church through. I'm not here to build my kingdom. I'm here to build God's kingdom. When I say I'm not, I'm talking about all of us. We are here to build the kingdom of heaven. God put us in this earth at such a time as this to build his kingdom. And all of you have a big part in that. Amen. I want to have a kingdom mentality. How about you? I do. If that's your prayer, come find us a place, find yourself a place to pray tonight. Ask the Lord to do the work. Maybe you've got it all together. That's good. But ask God to give you strength against everything that the enemy brings your way, because he will try his best to change the way that you think, the way you react, the way you speak. And it all starts in the mentality. God, give us a kingdom mentality. Help us to think like Jesus. Think like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When I come into your presence and before your throne I bow, my soul poured out before you, consecration, Lord. I vow I'll lay aside the things that would hinder me, separate me unto you, a servant, a vessel of honor, ready for service. Now anew, I present myself to be offered up as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. I must lose this world to win this world. Let my life be lost in you. I surrender now completely, for it's the least that I can do. I present myself to be offered up as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Thank you. to be offered up as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. I must lose this world to win this world. Let my life be lost in you. I surrender now completely, for it's the least that I can do. Offered up as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. I must lose this world to win this world. Let my life be lost in you. I surrender now completely, for it's the least that I can do.